Welcome back to the program. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside. We're squirmishing in our seats because Eric from QC is in here auditing us. Hopefully we'll pass and we'll continue on with the show. If not, we may all be fired.
You guys are having a great show.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you. Eric from QC so far giving us a thumbs up. Happy to hear that. So, yes, thank you. Whoa! Thank God. We're having a better day than the Cardinals are. I mean, another game given away.
Basics.
You're right. Eric, that's the best way to put it. Basics. Fundamentally, this team has been flawed all season long, and it reared its ugly head again today about how fundamentally poor they are. And when I first kind of saw the replay, I'm like, man, I don't know if Rosenthal would have beaten Jose Reyes at first base anyway, but then when I saw the full replay, and I'm like, no, he would have.
You got to give the effort.
He did once he realized, oh, bleep, I got to cover first base and started running. But he waited like 1-2 seconds, and I mean, Jose Reyes, he's not the spring chicken that he used to be, but he's still fast coming out of the left-handed side of the plate. Yeah, he beat out Rosenthal at first base. There's the winning run. Good night, Irene. There we go. And then here's what the funny thing is. To me, what the funny thing is that Matt Carpenter calls out Rosenthal saying, that just can't happen. You can't make errors. You can strike out, but you can't do that. He knows that. Isn't this the same guy who had a big base-running blunder towards the end of May when he made the out at third base trying to stretch out a double into a triple?
Who on that team hasn't made a mistake? I mean, that's the thing.
People in glass houses, man.
And in that situation, you got to be thinking ahead of the pitch. You got to know who's at the plate. You got to know who's going to be running. And the ball's hit to that side of the infield. You're supposed to know that before he even throws the pitch. So, you know, they put the blame on whoever, but they're all making these mistakes.
Eventually, someone has to start being held accountable for this, and nobody has. And I heard that's what Jose Oquendo did best. Was he held everybody accountable. We're going to have Richard Justice on in about 10 minutes. And the last time we had him on, he talked about how he was at a game, not as a reporter. I think he was just there as a fan. And this was several years ago when La Russa was still managing and Albert Pujols was still on the team. And I believe it was a shortstop. It might have been Brendan Ryan. Somebody made an error on a play out in the field. And when he came in, Jose Oquendo said something to him. La Russa said something to him. Albert Pujols said something to him, and Yadier Molina said something to him. You don't see that with this team. No one's really holding anybody else accountable. Tommy Pham is. I'll give Tommy Pham that. Tommy Pham has become pretty much almost every Cardinals fan's favorite player so far this year because the way he's playing on the field, and I think the way that he's kind of going about his business as well.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think a lot of people are loving the way Tommy Pham is going this year. And they have to decide whether or not this is going to be a player they want to build around, or if they're going to trade him when his value is at its highest.
It's hard to build around a guy with that age. You know, he's factoring in 31 years old.
Well, he's still south of 30, but he's heading that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's heading close to 30 and the injury history and everything else. So, I mean, there are certainly plenty of reasons to be skeptical about Tommy Pham as far as a cornerstone goes.
I mean, he's riding a hot stretch. There's no doubt about it. But 2 months, you know, there's been a lot. Bohart was, you know, on fire for quite a while, too. Those things come and go. And now that I think about it, I think the Cardinals need a quality control guy. So maybe I should maybe.
Well, yeah, you're auditing the wrong person. You should be auditing them.
It might be not a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, when we're done here, just, you know, hop on I-55 north to Chicago because they're playing the Cubs tomorrow afternoon. You know, you're still on vacation, so sure. you know what? Enjoy the weekend in Chicago. I want to see you standing behind the dugout there with your clipboard and, you know, and the stern expression that you have on your face right now because you're not happy because you're an auditor, and be like, yes, you know what? I see this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. Yeah, and then if they lose the game, then walk down there and inhale them their failed audit.
I'm sure it'll be a long list.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people are speculating that because Lance Lynn was on the bump today that this might be Lance Lynn's last game as a Cardinal. They're thinking that maybe that he is on his way out the door. Bob Nightingale tweeting that out, that the Kansas City Royals are interested in Lance Lynn. Now, I know, Eric, you and I have gone back and forth about Eric Hosmer.
Yeah, we have.
He's a player that I would like to see the Cardinals pick up because he is a good first baseman. 3 gold gloves. I know offensively he's not... maybe not as productive as they could get, like maybe from a Giancarlo Stanton, but health wise, I think he's better. He's a better batter, and he's a better defender. And first base is a position of need. I mean, I know Luke Voit's having, you know, some good games, but he's kind of like Tommy Pham. But is what you're saying, is it real? Is it sustainable?
I like Hosmer as well, and I like Hosmer as a better fit as Carpenter. But what are you going to do with Carpenter if you bring Hosmer in? And is Hosmer the guy that's going to be around here and you're going to build your team around
that? That's another thing, too. It makes me nervous about Eric Hosmer, that he's just like Lance Lynn, where he's coming into the final year of a contract. He's a Scott Boras client, too. That's another thing that makes me nervous. You know, you have to deal with him. And he does, right. I think he's a little harder on the Cardinals than what other agents are, too, because I think he tried to be a baseball player and he was in the Cardinals farm system and they cut him. So that could explain why he's a little bit more harsh or more difficult to deal with the Cardinals than other agents are. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line also available at 855-282-8255. When we have Richard Justice on in about 10 minutes, a lot of teams are wheeling and dealing so far that has not been the Cardinals. I think what they're going to do, we see it almost every single year. They're going to trade, you know, a minor league prospect that you've probably more than likely never heard of for a middle reliever that you more than likely never heard of.
Well, that won't make the fans too happy.
No, it's not. It's not going to make me happy either. It will not make the fans happy. It will not make the media happy, and they shouldn't be happy. And I don't think anybody wants to see, John Mozeliak have the press conference where he's standing there with a bow tie and just, well, you know, we felt like we did something that made our team very competitive. No, you really didn't. You just made a move for the sake of making a move. It's not what the fans want. The fans want a name that they heard of. They want someone who's going to actually impact the team.
Yeah, I think they need to refit this roster. I think there's a lot of moves that need to be made, and they need to reshuffle everything. It's just not working.
There's nobody in the Cardinals lineup that anybody fears.
Nobody's scared. Nope. Nobody's scared.
Not one person, not one manager, not one pitching coach is heading into Busch Stadium going, oh, man, we got to deal with blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they're not pitching one around person. Anybody on that
No.
team.
Who would you?
Right. No, and that's the problem. That's the other teams aren't scared to face you.
You think Eric Hosmer could be somebody that could eventually someone they could be scared to face? Do you think it eventually could be Eric Hosmer?
I mean, he's not a bad threat. I don't know that he's the man, though. I really don't know that he's the man.
I would love to see them make a run at a Manny Machado.
Okay, now you're
but,
talking.
But, yeah, that's the player I covet the most. I covet him actually more than I covet Giancarlo Stanton. But the thing is that he still has another year left on his contract. I don't know if Baltimore is going to be really willing to get rid of him. I mean, they if they get rid of him, they're going to be like, I guess we've got absolutely no shot of re-signing him, and you better be ready to give up the farm to get him, too.
I read on Twitter there was a team interested in making a deal with Baltimore, and they said that Jones and Machado were both off the board, that were untouchable.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're Baltimore, that makes sense.
Yeah.
If you're going to have two players to build around, it's going to be those two.
Right.
They need pitching bad. I mean, their team ERA, I think their starting pitching ERA is like above 5. So, yeah, they need starting pitching really bad. It's going to be interesting next couple of weeks. I think tomorrow actually marks the 6-week anniversary of when Mozeliak had that press conference when they did the coaching shuffle and they released Johnny Peralta. And then someone asked him about other moves that were going to be made. And he goes, well, we're going to find out. We're going to evaluate in 4 to 6 weeks. Tomorrow is the end of week 6.
Okay. And they haven't gotten anywhere yet.
No, they really haven't. And, you know, we talked about this on Monday with Craig Edwards from Viva Alberto's about this series with the Mets, this 4-game series with the Mets that the Cardinals, you know, walked away with a split. They're going to know a little bit more about what they're going to do. You know, if they lose 3 or 4 or all 4 games, they're going to be like, okay, maybe we got to start thinking more about selling and thinking about 2018 and beyond. If they win 3 or 4 and they're back in the race, then they got to start thinking about maybe buying and being about, okay, what are we going to do to win the division this year? But what do? They go and split to make the decision even more difficult.
Well, that's some tough pitching there in New York. But, I mean, they got a chance at the division, but they're not going to beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. I mean,
they're not going to. And I'll tell you what, the way the Cubs are playing right now, the Cubs may start taking off.
Yeah, they showed that acquisition of Quintana was huge. He's a good pitcher.
He's a good pitcher.
And he did really well in they played the World Series of Baseball, the Winter Classic, was it called?
The World Baseball Classic.
And he excelled there, and that was against some good talent. So
we're going to see. This weekend series is going to be interesting. Day game tomorrow, day game on Saturday. Sunday night game in Chicago. Hopefully it won't be a bloodbath, but...
Sounds like the place to be.
It's starting to feel like it's going to be one. The Cardinals could have just as easily won all four games as they lost two of them. So it's not like they went up there and they got, you know, their butt kicked in every single one of those games. But, man, the way the Cubs are playing right now, I think we may be catching the Cubs at the wrong time.
I would agree.
Just a gut feeling. We'll take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Richard Justice from MLB.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.